And right now we're going to the phones where we are joined by Drew Dick. He is the author of the book, Your Future Self Will Thank You, Secrets to Self-Control from the Bible and Brain Science. Well, don't ask us too many brain science questions, Drew.
I'll go easy on you.
All right, we can handle the Bible stuff. The brain science we might not be as sharp on.
And I don't know if I could handle the cookies on the cover like the dog is staring at. I love the picture on your cover.
Right, there's a self-control test right there.
Yes. Well, you make a great, really powerful kind of arresting statement when you say the biggest threat to our freedom isn't any external enemy, it's our inability to control ourselves. Mm. And it seems like, Drew, no matter how disciplined a person may be, some of us aren't very disciplined at all. Others of us are probably pretty disciplined people. But it seems like everybody has maybe one area in their life where their discipline kind of breaks down.
Yeah, isn't that true? And I wish I could say I wrote the book out of pure academic interest, but the truth is, this was a topic I realized I was weak in myself. And so that's kind of what led me to start researching and thinking about this. And then it kind of morphed into this book project, because you're right. I think we all have room to grow in certain areas. We all have bad habits and besetting sins. And sometimes it just takes a little intentionality and thoughtfulness and prayer and being open to saying, God, I want to grow in this area. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit to help me be more self-controlled.
And often we keep Bible and science separate, thinking that, you know, oh, science is bad. But, I mean, science, God created it. How do you correlate the two in when it comes to self-control?
Yeah, that's kind of my approach. Just what you said is that, you know, God created us. He created our brains, our psychology. And so it was interesting for me just to kind of read some of the literature on willpower, on habits. And that was really helpful in understanding sometimes why my self-control does falter. And, you know, one of the big studies I read early on was about how willpower, they found, is a finite resource. In other words, it's limited. It gives up. We'd like to think that we can hold out against temptation forever or just do something really difficult indefinitely. But the truth is, after doing something for a while or fending off temptation for a certain amount of time, we give in. And as Christians, of course, we shouldn't be surprised by this, because that's how Scripture describes us as finite, fallible creatures. We know that we're sinful. And so I think it's good to kind of develop a wariness about your sin, be realistic about who you are, and then try to avoid temptation as much as possible. And when you're faced with it, you know, be honest about the accountability and the tools that you need to resist it.
So mentioned there, avoiding temptation. When it comes to self-control, how much importance is that, because we have this finite resource? I guess two parts to this question. One, how important is it then to make intentional efforts to not tax that willpower beyond its abilities? And two, how does the Holy Spirit and how does God's work in our life come in to kind of fill that gap of our failing willpower?
Yeah, no, great question. And I think the first one is, yeah, you do everything you can to avoid temptation or situations in which your self-control is going to falter. And some people think, oh, is that legalism? Not at all. You know, the Bible says, we're commanded to pray, lead me not into temptation. We're told to, you know, not sit and fight sin, but we're commanded to flee it. And that's just wise, because we are weak. And then you're absolutely right, though. Thankfully, we're not in this fight alone. I think, you know, some people think, well, I can just kind of pull myself up by my bootstraps and really just develop this awesome discipline and live the Christian life. But the truth is, we need the empowerment of God's Spirit. Now, like I said, Galatians 5, it's a fruit of the Spirit. That means, you know, Paul's using a metaphor there. It's kind of like the same way a plant or a tree needs to be connected to the soil. In order to bear this fruit, we need to be connected to God if we're going to see self-control grow in our lives. And that can be a little counterintuitive, because you think self-control, well, it's about self. Well, not necessarily from a Christian, from a biblical perspective, something that God produces in our lives as we're connected with Him. And that's why a big part of this topic is, man, don't neglect that time in God's Word, that time in prayer, that time with fellow believers that can inspire you, encourage you, keep you accountable. That's a really big part of self-control.
Now, is there anything that we do on a daily basis, or physically, mentally, that outside of studying the Word, obviously, and praying, that we do that kind of feeds into the problem and that we could eliminate from our lives and in our daily habits?
Well, I think there's a lot. You know, I kind of like to focus on the more positive things that we can do, because, you know, researchers talk about keystone habits. And what they mean by that, keystone habits, are just these practices that you can do that not only benefit you in one area, but actually exert a positive influence across the spectrum of your life. So, for instance, one keystone habit is prayer. prayer is not only beneficial, we know, as Christians, if you start every day just 5 or 10 minutes of prayer, and the study after study has shown that's going to yield all kinds of benefits. You're going to be more productive at work. You're going to be less likely to eat bad foods. I mean, you name it. It's really incredible. And so, you know, when I wrote this book, I kind of did some journaling and try to apply some of these principles to my own life, and I realized just how weak I was. I remember once I tried to pray for 10 minutes every morning, and I'd set my little timer to go off in 10 minutes. And I remember the first time I thought, oh, the timer's broken. I must have been praying for at least 20 or 30 minutes. Check the timer, it had been 7 minutes. So I realized how tough some of these disciplines were to institute in my life. And yet when I did them, when I started my day with just a quick time in prayer and in the Word, I found that all kinds of behaviors changed. More likely to exercise, more productive at work, less likely to snap at my kids. And so sometimes when you can just make a small behavioral change in one area, it has a huge impact in your life.
And, you know, Drew, I think you make a good point there that oftentimes we think of self-control as resisting a bad habit. But we need just as much self-control to do good habits, don't we?
Yeah, and the thing is about this topic, you know, sometimes we think of holiness, you know, living the Christian life is kind of just practicing the steely resolve where we sit there always fending off sin. But the truth is, we need to fill up our lives with things of God, with the good things, you know? And I think when we come to Jesus for our fulfillment, what happens, it has a way of kind of pushing sin out of our lives. I remember one preacher, old Scottish preacher, Thomas Chalmers, he talks about the expulsive power of a new affection. In other words, we have that new affection when you're obeying Jesus' command to come to him when you're thirsty. You know, you're getting that satisfaction in God. It has a way of kind of expelling certain behaviors and sins from your life. So I think ultimately that's the best way to exercise self-control, is make sure you're feeding your soul with the right things.
Like listening to Christian radio.
Amen, brother. First thing in the morning.
Yeah, there you go. And I think you make a great point, too, that in your book, you talk that self-control isn't, sometimes we think of it as, I'm restricting myself, I'm going to limit myself, I'm not going to allow myself to do these things. And we almost in a negative sense of what we deny, but you argue that it's really a liberating thing, that when we have self-control, we're liberated to enjoy God and his creation in a proper way, instead of, you know, abusing it and harming ourselves.
Oh, that's right. And, you know, self-control kind of, I think, gets a bad rap in our culture, because you mention it and people kind of sigh and groan, and they realize they have, you know, room to grow in the area, but they also think of it as kind of restrictive and maybe this kind of weird Victorian repressive ideal. And that's too bad, because the truth is, you know, when you look at it in Scripture, what it enables you to do, self-control actually leads to a life of freedom and flourishing, and it enables you to love God and to love others. And ultimately, that's really exciting. It's hard to develop any good character qualities without self-control. I mean, you can't be faithful to your spouse. You can't be patient or kind or generous. I mean, all of these things take a certain level of self-control, that is putting your own interests and desires aside in order to put others first. And so you just see how important it is to cultivate in your life. I would say it's really impossible to live a life of freedom without it.
All right, Drew, I'm going to give you a chance to meddle and annoy every listener we have, because one of the areas I think maybe more than any other in our current culture to try to exercise self-control is with our digital devices. Sorry, I know everybody just went, all right, turn off the radio.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. I mean, this is a struggle for me. The other day I was in line at a Chipotle, and I made a horrifying discovery. I didn't have my phone with me. It was really tough. You know, I almost had to talk to someone. Anyway, I get it. These things are with us all the time. The problem, of course, is that we're inundated with messages and information and video and you name it. And what that does, and it's really terrifying to look at the literature on this, because it actually depletes our willpower even quicker. We become addicted to novelty and stimulation. And what that does is it makes it really hard to engage in some of these deep spiritual disciplines. Anyway, so one thing I've found, there's researchers talk about a strategy called a bright line strategy, and that refers to the practice of putting hard and fast rules in your life around technology. So one of the example might be like, no looking at my phone after 7 p.m. You know, for my family, one thing we do is we have no screen Sunday, and I'll admit we observe it imperfectly, usually I'm the greatest breaker of the rule. But man, when we are able to put down the devices, no iPads, no phones, no TV, and just be with each other, worship God, have a day away from the screens, it's like a little slice of heaven. So you really do have to institute some sort of guidelines that just prevent tech from crowding in and taking over your life.
You talked about it. You have struggled with that rule that you have, and I'm sure there are people listening that thinking, oh man, I've been trying and trying and trying. You talk about grace. Grace is a big part of this too, isn't it?
It really is, and I think most people think of them as sort of opposites because you think, well, God's going to just forgive me for my sin. Why would I exercise self-control? And of course, the Apostle Paul anticipates that in Scripture. He says, shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. And that should be our attitude, too. And the truth is, grace actually fuels self-control. One of the studies I read about when I was researching for this book was what diet researchers call the what the heck effect. And what they mean by that is when they observe dieters and they had one small indiscretion, say they ate a piece of pizza or a candy bar or something, what would follow that behavior was often a full-on binge, right? And I've been there. Because you just say, oh, what the heck, I've already messed up. Now I'm really just going to do what I want. They also observed kind of the opposite phenomenon, what they called the fresh start effect. And that referred to the phenomenon that when people perceive that they have a blank slate, they're starting fresh, their behavior actually improves. And as a Christian, I thought, man, we've got the ultimate fresh start effect of all time, right? God adopts us into his family. He forgives us completely. And what should follow that forgiveness, that grace, is actually better behavior, more self-control, holier life, rather than more sin.
We're talking with Drew Dick. The book is Your Future Self Will Thank You, Secrets to Self-Control from the Bible and Brain Science. And Drew, if folks want to find out more information about the book, how can they do so?
Oh, well, there's this little bookstore in the Northwest here called Amazon.com. They can check it out there. They
if
can
people can't make it all the way to the Northwest, is there an online thing that you can access that from?
I do think they have an online thing that you can check out, if I'm not mistaken. You can also pop by my website. It's just my name, Drew Dick, last name DYCK.com. And you can read a free excerpt from the book and see some cheesy pictures of me and my family.
Well, that's always fun. Hey, Drew, thank you so much. Yeah, this was great talking with you. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.